I want to read to you this morning. This is going to look a very big and heavy thing. This is a parallel Bible. Let me tell you about a man called Eugene Peterson. Very, very skilled Hebrew and Aramaic Greek individual. And he is a pastor in the state. And he set out to translate the New Testament. And then he went for the Psalms into what he called contemporary English. And he took out, you know, how verse 19, verse 20, 22, because he called it then the Message. And his whole idea was that you would read your Bible in this contemporary English style as a message from God. And I have it paralleled here. I have the old text on one column, and I have the Message in the other. And I wanted to bring you, I've been impressed in my heart to bring you a message from Psalm 94. So I'm not going to read the whole of it. I'm going to read the section in the NIV, and then I'll give you the Message section. And let me take those off. I should have a new pair of glasses tomorrow, and they're not come yet. But here we go. Okay. And I'm going to take you down to verse 14, 16 in the King James. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Think about that with today. What's happening across our world? And then here's the phrase I want to share with you. Unless the Lord helped me, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence and death. And when I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O God, supported me. And when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Who stood up for me against the wicked? Who took my side against evil? If God, listen to this, if God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. The minute I said, I'm slipping, your love, God, took hold and held me fast. And when I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and you cheered me up. And when I was upset, do you ever get upset? I get upset. When I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. I need to read that every day. And maybe you would like to as well. So that was a wonderful way Eugene Peterson picked up those verses 16 to 19 of Psalm 94. We are in troubled times and troubled days, looking at some of the testimonies and the stories from the Ukraine, from the Turkey and Syria, and the earthquake, looking at some of the things that are happening around our world, you shake your head and you wonder. I shared with you a week ago, the past is not dead. What happened to us all the way through our lives bears a consequence to us now. And the future, it's not ours. We have no guarantee on that. But we're looking at this verse that God's time is now. And in that time that is God's time, things are happening that don't make sense, that I can't understand, that you say, this raises all kinds of questions. And I want to come to this phrase in the Psalms. You see, it's in Psalm 94, and it says, unless the Lord helped. Well, it's a question, will we be doomed by what's happening, or will we be rescued? Unless the Lord. And this, if God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. If God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. One of the greatest experiences and surprises that have occurred in my life was when I was traveling from Vancouver to Calgary, and Joyce was with me, and you have to break the journey in Banff. You are in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. And we were there on August the 25th. And we're staying in Banff. We're going to pick up the bus, the coach, to go on to Calgary the next day. I'd flown a number of times, but this was, I wanted to do something to go through the mountains. And I really wanted to get to a place where I could see where the gold rush. You could stand here and a train would be coming up and through in the area where the gold rush took place. Now, that was what I wanted to see, as well as the mountains. But here we are in Banff, and it's August the 25th, and it snowed. It snowed overnight, and I don't mean, you know, a couple of inches. Just a thing. And the blanket of snow is on the ground. And we're in the hotel, and the bus driver's there too. And he said, have you been up the mountain? Up the ski lift? I said, look at the snow. He said, you've got time. You've got time. Go up in the ski lift. Go up to the top of the mountain. So Joyce and I bought the ticket, and we did just that. And the cloud is all around us and so on. And you think, what am I going to see? And the ski lift took us up. And we came through the cloud and get to the top of the mountain. And then you look down and see the whole of the valley shrouded in the clouds. And you know that underneath there is all the snow that's stopping transport and people and everything. And it was another point of view. We were in the sunshine. It was amazing. And I've never forgotten it, because I've come to understand life is like that at times. There are circumstances, there are situations that surround us with a fog, with a cloud. And you seemingly, you can't penetrate it. I can't make sense of some of the events that are happening now. We're in a fog, politically, nationally, economically. The whole world seems to be covered. The earthquake, the conflict. I listen to those Ukrainian people who'd been abused by Russian soldiers. It seems we can't penetrate the fog. And so you have misery, and you have gloom, and you have despair, and you have dismay. And that is exactly the experience of the psalmist. He's found himself deep in trouble. And when I read it, I thought, he's not alone in moments like that. He is a mirror image of our lives. And there are these moments in our lives when we struggle to see our way through the troubled situation the overnight storm has brought into our experience. And somehow, we have got to discover that above the storm clouds, the sun is shining. Now, it's a simple truth. It's a very profound one, that God is greater than our biggest problem. Sitting where these folk are on the back there, Morris Newbury used to sit there with his wife Evelyn. And they had a horrifying experience at Southend Hospital. Evelyn had cancer. And to get to the cancer ward, you have to go up in a lift. That's what oncology is on that particular floor. And the newbies got trapped in the lift. And they could do nothing from the inside that could free them. They were banging on the door. They were pressing buttons. They were shouting for help. But they needed outside assistance before they could be free. Well, they did get it and so on. And sometimes in life, that's how it feels. We're trapped. We're banging on the door. We're pressing the buttons. We're pulling the handle, but we can't get free. And we need help from outside. Here's what John says in his epistle. 1 John 3:20, he says, God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. Greater than my heart. And you know everything. You know I'm trapped here. You know I'm banging on the door. You know I'm pressing the buttons. You know I'm pulling the handles. And nothing's making sense. But you know how to help me. So when I go back to the psalmist, and this very graphic, it's an intensely personal way he's seeing things. His world was a deeply troubled world at that time. He knew that even the law was being manipulated. The judges were twisting the law in order to exploit the people. He knew what the political powers were doing at that time. He saw so much that was wrong. He saw so many devious plans that were furthering this one and that one. And he saw how it seemed endless the way people were being exploited and abused. And he is afraid. And the fear that he's expressing in Psalm 94 paralyzes relationships and dreams and careers. And he actually says, my foot is slipping. My foot is slipping. What's making sense here? And I identify. And I think if you're honest, you identify with this too, as a church. See, when your foot slips, you lose your momentum. When your foot slips, you lose your balance. When your foot slips, you realize you're heading for a very nasty fall. It'll have all kinds of ramifications and unwelcome consequences. I didn't see a lip on a curb with these bifocals. And I lifted my foot and I slipped. And the consequence was a spinal fracture and the permanent brace that I have to wear. I didn't know that. I didn't know a 2-inch lip on a curb. My foot slipped. And here I am, 3 years almost now later, with the ramifications. I know what this guy is talking about. So what did God do to rescue and help this slipping psalmist. And he simply says, unless the Lord helped me. If God hadn't been there for me, then what's happening in my world? What's happening to people? What's happening to the community where I live? What's happening to the place where I worship? What are the consequences? And here's number one. When you're in a moment like that, because you have an anchor in Jesus, God helped him. Unless the Lord had been my help, if God hadn't been there for me. Now I'm going to say something and you'll nod your head. Everybody has problems. The only people without problems that I know are up the Hall Road. They're in a cemetery. And the real issue is, how do you handle the problems? He's the psalmist. If you went back to one of the things he said already, Psalm 46, he said, God is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Do you know how Peterson puts it? A today, here, and a now kind of help. Here's what he says in Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here's what he says in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. Do you hear me? If God hasn't been there for us, unless the Lord, then one of the first things God will do for you is to help you. You see, you have to wait. That means trusting that God knows what he's doing. When I don't understand what's happening in my life, do you know where I begin? I begin with what I know for sure. When things around me are going crazy, I know that God is good. I know that God is not fickle. He doesn't keep changing his mind. I know that God is a giver and not a taker. I know that he's a blesser and not a curser. I know what the psalmist knew in Psalm 103. From everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. I know what Jeremiah wrote as his lament when he saw the city burning to the ground. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You sang it. You sang it because you know that. You know that. And I want to suggest every time you find yourself in need of help, then look to him. He's going to be right there. Right there for you. And say, unless, Lord, you help me. And just to make the point, do you know what the scriptures tell me? Our loving Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. So how did he help the psalmist? How does he help us? Well, God helped him because God held him up. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Or the translation, your love, O Lord, supported me. Right at that very precise moment when he says, my foot is slipping, when he feels everything is chaos and total disorder, God puts his everlasting arms underneath and around him. Dean Martin had a hit song, I'm Going Back. You're nobody till somebody loves you. Remember it? You're nobody until somebody loves you. Will you listen to this? From Isaiah chapter 43. This is what the Lord says to you, who created you. of kaleidoscope, some of the words, formed you, redeemed you. It's because I want you to get to this. The Lord says, I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. You want to know how he helps? Because he holds you. And he lifts you up. He held him. Can I finish that scripture? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers that are threatened to overwhelm you, when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, for I am the Lord your God, and you are precious in my sight. That's Isaiah 43, the first four verses. Be very sure of this. Be very clear about this. God meets us where we are. Whenever. He meets us where we are. He meets us when we feel like giving up. When we say, I can't hack this anymore. I don't know. And Paul told the Corinthian Christians, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, is the word he used, tried beyond what you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10. How long will God's mercy hold me up? Your mercy, O Lord, held me up. How long will you hold me up? Oh, what's that in Psalm 106? Your mercy endures forever. What have I read this morning? If you're reading the passage for the morning, you've read this. It's Psalm 23, 24, 25 with the Psalms this morning. What did you read in Psalm 23? Goodness and mercy shall do what? Come on, can you tell me? Tell me. Shall what? Shall follow me on Sundays only. No. All the days of my life. Your mercy holds me up when I'm having a tough time. Your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days. Do you know, if you ever visit the great cathedrals, you've been up to London, to Westminster Abbey and so on. And here's one. You'll see in the stained glass windows, they will portray important events. They will portray happenings in the life of the Lord Jesus. This one portrays a pastor's daughter who at 16 died with leukemia. And they got the picture of Jesus, the loving shepherd of the sheep. And all of the skills and the craftsmanship that in those stained glass windows, they're there to tell the story. But God doesn't need a stained glass window to tell you that he loves you. He doesn't need a stained glass window in a mighty cathedral to make you have faith and assurance. Do you know what he does? He uses born again, tuned in, turned on believers like myself, pastors and friends within the church fellowship. He uses people just like us. People he helps. People he's helped. People he's held up. So when others wonder, how did you manage? What caused you to cope? How did you get through? You can say, it was the Lord. Unless the Lord helped and held me. If God hadn't been there for me, I never would have made it. Now, I've got to address the very older ones for a minute. Do you remember the Saturday morning matinees at the pictures? Roy Rogers and cowboys and Indians and all that kind of thing. And the cartoons and the feature film. And there was always an adventure serial, you know, that ended with the hero or the heroine facing an impossible situation. And there would seem no way out. Every episode I ever saw in those Saturday morning things, and it ended always with this, to be continued. Do you remember it? You may see it now on some program, to be continued. And by God's grace, by his mercy, by his favor, by his blessing on my life and on yours, is written to be continued. To be continued. The story's going to go on. And so here you have the psalmist saying, you know, what am I going to do in all this chaos and this confusion? My foot is sleeping. You're going to help me? Unless the Lord had been my help and your mercy held me up, your love, O Lord, supported me. I'm going to give you one more. Help, hope, and a hug. God hugged him, bringing him comfort. Your consolation brought joy to my soul. I never would have made it without you. The Bible tells me he puts his loving arms, his everlasting arms, underneath us and around us. And I call that a holy hug. And bringing me comfort and blessing. It is not just a doom and gloom situation. All these distressing fears and anxious moments and dreadful thoughts regarding what might be, what could be, what would be. They're all brought under control by the awareness of his presence, his comforting presence and his touch. You know Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born, a time to die. 28 different seasons of life. 28 are there in those verses 2-8 of Ecclesiastes 3. The time to die. The time to be born, the time to plant, the time to harvest, the time to kill, the time to heal. The list goes on. And God determines every one of those moments and those seasons in our life. How do I know that? The psalmist wrote something in Psalm 31. He says, do you know my times? My days? My times are in your hand. And every day I remind myself of that. And I want you to do the same. Because he's hugging you. He's holding you. He's helping you. My times are in your hand. And because of that, we then move into the next season. The next moment in our lives. That's true for you girls here. You're always moving into another season. It's true for every senior that's here. It's true for every one of you. My times are in your hand. And do you know what he promised to do? Let me go back to the New Testament now. Because Jesus wanted us to understand that when we move into another moment in our lives, another season, another encounter, another experience, Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter, a parakletos, somebody who will come alongside you and just hold you, a comforter, a counselor. You can read it in John chapter 14. When you're not sure what to do or where to go because of the situation or the season that you find yourself facing. You listen out. Because I tell you what will happen. You can come to my Bible if you want to have an exercise. Alongside this psalm I've taught this morning, I've got 19:8-21. I saw it in the year 21, this particular verse that I've now made into a sermon. And my Bible has got dates all the way through it, because I found whatever season, whatever time, whatever moment, whatever situation was happening in my life, when I opened this book, when I waited before him, when I sat there and said, God, I don't make sense of what's happening, I found he would highlight a particular scripture verse or a promise or a place or something that was a thought in my mind, and it won't go away. It kept and it keeps coming back. And I found I would pick up the phone or I would meet someone and they would say something to me. I saw a man parked in a lay-by. I was coming up from Aberystwyth, up from West Wales, I was going to the north. And I recognised his car. He was a brother from the Emmanuel Church. So I thought, oh, I'll stop. I got a couple of sandwiches and I got a flask. I'll sit in there with him. He said, brother, God has put you on my mind and my heart. I have to say something to you. He said, where are you going? I said, doesn't matter where I'm going. And he had a word for me. He said something to me, and I went to the place where I was heading, and when I walked through the door, it was exactly what he had said. And I'd met him in a lay-by. It's incredible. And I could bring you moments like that. And you had moments like that. And a verse has come to your mind, or somebody has said something, or a friend has put their hand on your shoulder and said, bless your brother, bless your sister. I prayed with these girls here time and time again in different situations. It's been just the right moment. And I prayed with you. It's just been the right moment. Do you hear what I'm trying to share with you? Whatever season you find yourself facing, God is going to be right there. You're not alone. You don't have to cope on your own. Here's a song we used to sing here. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Have you got it? And Jesus was very, very personal when he pointed something out. He said, you know, in the world, you'll have trouble. And don't you know that's true? But he prefaced that. He said, yes, in the world you will have trouble, but he prefaced that with another comment, which was this, but in me you will have peace. That's John 16 and verse 33. Would you allow God to do something to you this morning? To help you, hold you, and hug you. And whatever the season or the time is for you this coming week, you can say at the end of it, God, if you hadn't been there, I never would have made it. I never would have made it. Help us, hold us, hug us, Lord, for we know we can trust you. Whatever the week holds for us, wherever we go, whatever we do, we trust you. So go with the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit, resting upon you, remaining with you, and being your portion in coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.